Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. Last night saw an actual in-person Democratic mayoral debate. It was the first time voters got to see the candidates side by side. Perhaps that's what prompted Andrew Yang to say in his opening statement, "My friend Ray McGuire is 6 foot 4 inches tall." And that's pretty much where the niceties ended. The eight candidates on the stage from left to right, Diane Morales, Eric Adams, Catherine Garcia, Sean Donovan, Scott Stringer, Maya Wiley, Ray McGuire, and Andrew Yang, went beyond their allotted time, some more than others. I'm looking at you, Ms. Wiley. They talked over one another and got personal. I'm looking at you, Mr. Yang and Stringer. And for some reason, some of the moderators called the candidates by their first names, which was quite distracting. But it became clear that the biggest issues facing the city all intersect: economy, safety, policing, and housing. We want to know what you think. If you watch the debate, here's our call-in question of the day. Did seeing the candidates debate in person change your opinion or how you view any of the candidates? What worked for you about the debate last night? What was missing? And if you chose to watch the Knicks or Yankees instead of the debate, let us know why you made that choice. 646-435-7280 is the number. 646-435-7280. Our Instagram and Twitter, at All of It WNYC. Joining me now is WNYC senior political reporter, Bridget Bergen. Hi, Bridget.
Hey, Allison.
So what did you hear last night that maybe surprised you or at least was new to this campaign cycle?
Well, I mean, we can't overstate how different it was to see these candidates break out of their Zoom rooms mm-hmm. and actually be standing on a stage next to each other. I think that is what elicited Andrew Yang's comment about Ray McGuire's stature, his 6'4". But it was also interesting to see, you know, before the debate outside, there were these campaign rallies for all the candidates. You know, they took up part of Broadway. And it really, for me, having covered the 2013 mayoral race, it felt so reminiscent to some of the scenes we saw back there. The energy of, you know, campaigning out in the streets, out in the open, which really we haven't seen for most of this cycle. In terms of the substance of the debate, you know, again, I think we heard the moderators lead with questions about crime and public safety. It's one of the issues that really tends to divide the field into the more moderate versus progressive lanes. And one of the things that was most striking to me was something that Andrew Yang said. Now, he's considered one of the more moderate candidates, definitely does not want to shrink the size of the NYPD, and in fact wants to bring back a disbanded plainclothes anti-crime unit. He actually talked about expanding the NYPD. He said, given the number of officers who are retiring, that the city should actually go on a recruitment blitz, and framed it as a chance for people who want to serve the city. Now, this was new. I really hadn't heard him make a pitch like that before, and it really jumped out at me.
You've watched the Zoom debates. Who changed their style or their MO with the in real life debate?
You know, I think we saw that Ray McGuire had an opportunity to be a little bit more assertive than we have seen him in these Zoom debates. His Zoom shot, for anyone who's watched these Zoom forums, has really been almost cinematic. The quality of the image and the, you know, backdrop of his office, and to have him standing there next to, you know, Andrew Yang, you know, you really, he could assert himself in a much more physical sense. Mm-hmm. And he really emphasized his role as an outsider to city government. He called it a bad movie at City Hall, and all the same characters that we didn't want to have a sequel of. And I'm also pretty sure he dropped a line from A Few Good Men when he said, "You need me on that wall," which was a little bit strange, I thought. But, you know, he I think, tried to lean in a little bit harder to his role as an outsider, someone who could take this city government and reset it in a new direction. Mm. You know, Maya Wiley, as you said, continued to be really aggressive, interrupted a lot. I think that was more effective in the first debate than it was in this debate, although she is really masterful at the pivot, you know, using her opportunity to interrupt and then make a different point, the point that she wants to make, despite what the conversation is. There was a moment where Andrew Yang was coming under fire from Scott Stringer about his record and Eric Adams about leaving the city during COVID and the fact that he hadn't voted in elections and his, you know, role in civic life. And Wiley interrupted and said, you know, let's stop with the personal attacks. Let's talk about qualifications, and then proceeded to attack him again about his nonprofit. So a skillful debater and good at the pivot, though, maybe could have stuck to her time a little bit more.
Yeah, Maya Wiley and Eric Adams continue to spar. I want to play two clips. It's a clip when she challenged him on statements that he would carry a gun as mayor. Of course, he's a former NYPD captain. Here's Ms. Wiley.
Mr. Adams has said he's carried a gun to church. He's asked off-duty officers to carry guns to church. He said he will carry a gun as mayor and maybe even ditch his detail. Eric, isn't this the wrong message to send our kids? We're telling not to pick up the guns.
And then Mr. Adams had a story to tell.
Off-duty, transit cop, I hear an Asian hate crime taking place. I'm off-duty, on the train. I hear the yell of the Chinese man. He was being assaulted and robbed because he was Chinese. I was off-duty. I was able to stop those armed perpetrators from carrying out their actions while off-duty. The state law states that a police officer can carry off duty because he has to respond 24 hours a day to any crime that's taking place in the city.
I'm proud of every time I do that.
These issues around safety have really taken over this election cycle, Bridget, maybe even edging out the COVID economic recovery discussion. How has that changed the rhythm of this campaign?
You know, I think there is a sense of urgency for some voters, and one could argue that that could benefit candidates who are more familiar with how city government functions and the different levers of power. And so for some voters, that might make an Eric Adams a stronger appealing candidate because he's a former NYPD officer before he became an elected official. But if his philosophical, ideological approach to addressing these issues is something that doesn't appeal to the voter, you know, he is certainly among the more conservative, more moderate candidates in this race. And on the flip side of that, you do have candidates like a Scott Stringer or a Maya Wiley, who both have also been in government and are offering a different approach to addressing some of these same problems that involves reimagining how the police department functions, ensuring there's more mental health services available, and that when you think about safety, that justice is part of that conversation.
Let's take a couple of calls. Alicia's calling in from Queens on line two. Hi, Alicia. Thanks for calling All of It. What did you think of the debate?
Hi, how are you doing? It really changed my mind about some of the candidates. I want to see a woman to be given a chance to run this city. Men have done it, you know, in the past, but I think it's time for a woman. So my number one, two, and three were all the women that are running. But it shifted their positions after the debate. Maya Wiley really dropped down because if you're running a city, you've got to be able to get along with people. You got to have respect for people. And she had no respect for the moderator. She had no respect for the people who are running with her. And so she dropped down in my eyes. Catherine Garcia is, as far as I'm concerned, my number one choice.
Thanks for calling in, Alicia. You know, Garcia made much more of her endorsements, Bridget, from the New York Times and the Daily News than she had previously. I think we talked about that last time. Mm-hmm. We wondered why she didn't lean on it. Oh, but we heard it many times last night. You know, with her bit of momentum, how did other candidates seek to slow her momentum?
You know, that was really interesting. I would say that she framed it this way when she came out of the debate, but I think it's accurate, which is she really tried to stay above the fray. She didn't become the focal point for many attacks. There was one moment towards the end of the debate when Comptroller Scott Stringer, you know, criticized her and lumped her into some decisions that the de Blasio administration made related to combating homelessness and the funding for homeless services. Now, when she served in the de Blasio administration, she played many roles, but none of them involved overseeing homelessness. She was the sanitation commissioner. She was the interim NYCHA chair. She was the lead czar. She was the COVID food czar. But that was one particular area where she was not responsible for overseeing that program. And it was an interesting attack coming from someone who was and continues to be a citywide elected official whose office in the New York City Comptroller has the ability to audit and oversee some of these agencies. Beyond that, you know, I don't think she took too many hits, but in the same vein, I don't think she landed any, you know, many breakout moments. And if the campaign's goal was just to stay above the fray, then, you know, they may have accomplished that. But for voters who are still trying to make up their mind, who might have been looking for a little something more, I'm not sure she got as much out of it as she could have.
My guest is WNYC senior political reporter Bridget Bergen. We're talking about the first in real life Democratic mayoral debate last night. Let's go to Cindy, who is calling in. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hello, Allison. Hi there. I'm an outsider. I'm actually not any longer a New Yorker, but I'm really interested in the race. So I thought what was missing last night was a question about Andrew Cuomo, since they're going to have to be obviously working very closely with him for at least a year. And I think it's a, you know, it's been a big issue between de Blasio and Cuomo for these two terms. So I just think that was something I'd like to understand about the candidates.
Cindy, thank you so much for calling in. There that was that one moment, Bridget, when they asked if anybody wanted Andrew Cuomo's endorsement, and only Yang raised his hand, which was sort of one of those moments. You thought, what's that about? Same thing with Mayor de Blasio. I'm curious about, we don't have that much time, but there seem to be these groupings because the field's so large. Progressive Democrats, moderate Democrats, conservative Democrats, and we have this ranked choice voting come up, which some say give people a real chance to express preference. So if you're progressive, you could just pick the three most progressive candidates in a row. How might this affect the race, do you think? What are some of the possibilities here?
Well, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot. We say this often. We're going to learn a lot about how New York City voters used ranked choice voting from this election. As you said, you have the option to rank up to five candidates for city offices. And so a voter could choose to rank five people for mayor. There are going to be 13 options on the ballot. But you do not have to rank all five. Mm-hmm. Now, the argument in favor of ranking all five is that it would allow your vote to go further. So if, for example, you did choose to rank, you know, the progressive candidates who people tend to think of as Maya Wiley, Diane Morales, Scott Stringer, as your one, two, and three, and then, you know, put in other candidates in the fourth and fifth spot, more moderate candidates, well, if there aren't enough votes for the candidates you ranked one through three and they get eliminated in the ranked choice tally process, well, then ultimately it's your fourth and fifth choice vote that will be counted. And what we are starting to see more and more is a movement among folks who, while they may not be supporting a specific candidate, they are urging people not to rank candidates on their ballot. Because if you do rank these other candidates, even if you're ranking them four or five, you still may be contributing to their ability to get over 50% and to win the race. So there's a little bit of more thinking going into it if those are some of the concerns you have when you are making your decisions about who to support.
I've been speaking with WNYC senior political reporter Bridget Bergen. Bridget, thanks as always.
Thanks, Allison.